Our scripture reading today is found in Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, and we're reading through Matthew 6, verse 3. And it's great to see some of you reaching for your Bibles and looking it up. You can follow on the screen or on whatever device you have. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church, and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it. Yeah, I do. Just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery. I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on earth.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for your word. Russ, come and pray for us.
Morning, church family.
Good morning, Russ.
Happy Mother's Day to all our mothers. I would be remiss if I didn't say this, that in addition to Teachers Appreciation Week, it's also Nurses Appreciation Week. And I know we have a number of nurses here. One of them is my favorite nurse ever, my wife. Could we actually have the nurses stand? Nurse, emergency staff, those who work in hospitals. I know former nurses, there's a couple. Come on, I know there's a lot of you. All right, Mike's there. All right, awesome. God bless you all. We know that it is the nurses who who do the caring for in the hospitals. All right. It is Mother's Day, and I was going to tell a joke for Mother's Day, but then I was told one thing you don't joke about, that's Mother's Day. So I'm going to leave you with a quote instead, and that's from one of my favorite presidents ever, and that's Abraham Lincoln. And I don't know if you knew this, but Abraham Lincoln, when he was young, he was only 9 years old when his mother passed away. And later in life, he said, everything I am and everything I ever hoped to be, I got from my mother. And he went on to say that no man is poor who ever had a godly mother. So it's amazing, even at 9 years old, the impact that you as moms make. So we're going to pray God's blessing upon you now as you go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we come before you. And we are so thankful, Lord God, for this day that you've blessed us with. We know, Lord God, that we are not guaranteed another day. And yet you have seen fit, Lord, to allow us to gather here today so that we could worship you, Lord, so that we could glorify you, both in our song and our worship and our attentiveness, Lord God, to the message that you have for us. Father God, we are so blessed to have with us today so many mothers and grandmothers, and in some cases, great-grandmothers, Lord. We have those moms who might not be moms by birth, but who are moms to those, Lord God, who seek their guidance and their care. And so we ask your blessing upon them also, Lord. We thank you for the times that they still our hearts, Lord, that they ease our anxiety, that they bind up our wounds, that they comfort us, Lord God, that they're there for us. Father God, I thank you for the godly mother that was so persistent in making sure, Lord, that her kids went to church and that they read their word, your word, Lord God. I thank you for the influence that she had on my life and that of my grandmother also. I pray a special blessing, Lord God, just upon even my adopted mother, Lord God, my mother-in-law, who also is a godly woman. Thank you for the godly women in this church, Lord God, who bring their children, Lord, who honor that covenant that they made when they dedicated their children to you. Father God, we recognize that there are so many needs represented here in this church, that there are many who have physical needs, Lord God, and emotional needs that are hurting, Lord God, down to their core. And it's the reason why you've brought them here today, Lord God. We pray, Lord God, that you would help us to leave our burdens here at your feet and allow you, Lord God, to show yourself strong in our lives. Lord God, I especially pray for Gabriella Seghese, Lord, who's going to Italy soon, Lord, that you would provide her traveling mercies, that your hand of protection would be upon her. You would ease the anxiety of her parents, Lord, while she's away. Father God, I also pray for my nephew, Lord God, who's recovering from surgery on his knee. I pray, Lord God, that you help him get back to full function, Lord God. We also do lift up Edison, Lord God, who's up for this job. We pray that your will would be done in his life. Yes, we thank you for the impact that he has on the students at Phillipsburg, Lord God. Sometimes that impact that he will never know, that they will come back years later and tell him that you're the reason why I am the way I am and I'm a better person. Father God, I just ask now that you would be with our pastor as he brings a message, your message, Lord God, to us. I pray that you would just continue to keep us alert, Lord God, and focused, that you would make our hearts fertile soil, Lord God, for the seed that's going to be planted. And I pray, Lord God, that as it grows through this week, that we would bear fruit, Lord God, that we could be a blessing to those people around us. We ask this all in the holy and precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Well, church, this is going to start out probably a little differently than you expect, but I'm going to ask you to kind of stay with me through it all. If I were to erect an image to myself that is 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide, that's 3 times the height of this building if you were to stand out on the sidewalk, 90 feet tall of me and 9 feet wide, and I were to tell you as your pastor, you are to bow down and worship that image of gold. And if you don't, when the music plays, if you do not bow down to it, I'll have you executed. Now imagine if I actually had that authority to do so, that I would not only have you executed, but I'd have you burned to death in a fiery furnace. I think you kind of know where I'm going with this, right? What would you do? All I'm asking you to do is to bend your knee and worship the image of me. Not a lot to ask, or you die. What would you do? Many of you, I imagine, know the story of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, whom the king renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Raise your hand if you know it. Okay, I'm not talking, so I want to go through the whole thing. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were 3 Jewish men that were in exile to Babylon after all of the wickedness of Israel prior to that, and they were sitting under the king Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar had that statue built of himself and required that everybody in the kingdom bow down and worship it when they heard the musical instruments. Well, there were some executives, some magistrates who came and they saw it and they observed it and they said, you know, King, there's a group of people that don't honor you. There's three men specifically, and they disdained, they despised the Jews. Now understand something. If these people come in, they're now in your country, and they're here maybe not with you wanting them to be there, but they're here. And these three Jewish men were elevated to some of the highest positions in the kingdom because of their wisdom, and now these magistrates who had similar positions are basically usurped. So it might have been out of their pure disdain for the Jews. It could have been out of jealousy, or for whatever reason, they come to the king. And they say, these three Jewish fellas will not bow to your idol. And it makes the king hot. You know that. So he calls them in, says, hey, guys, we've been friends, you know, elevated you to this high position. If you don't bow down to this idol, I'm going to have to throw you into the fiery furnace. This was their response, if you don't already know it. Listen carefully to how they respond to a king who's about to execute them in one of the most cruel ways to die. King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty and your hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Now, notice something about that. I don't know if you picked up on it. But even when this king was going to do something very wicked, because these men would not bow down, they honored the king. They called him your majesty on two occasions at least in this discourse. Your majesty. That's a term that the Israelites would have recognized from King David and his songs. They would have said, ah, the majesty of our almighty God. And that was something that they would only really give to a deity, to their Lord. But they honor the king by calling him your majesty twice. That tells me something of the character of these three men. But my question is, why on earth wouldn't they simply bow down? Now, if you look at the text and you kind of have an inquisitive mind, which I kind of do on this, these magistrates bring these three Jews. Now, all of the Israelites that had been exiled were there, and they had the same requirement. They were all supposed to bow down. So is it just because these three guys are ruling over these guys and probably usurp their position? Is it because of that, or is it because they hate the Jews? Why is it that only these three men are picked out? It might be that only these three men wouldn't bow. Might be. We don't know. But these are the three that are going to suffer the consequences. Maybe they're going to be thrown into the fiery furnace because they are rulers in the land. And if they can do it to the rulers, they'll do it to every common man. So you better listen. Who knows? But I do know this one thing. These three men are singled out, and they could have simply bent the knee. Why didn't they? Well, a few things come to mind. First of all, they had a relationship with Almighty God. They said, the God that we serve is able to rescue us from this fire. And he will deliver us, they said. And even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow to your idol, your majesty. We're not going to do it. Number one, they had a relationship with Almighty God. Number two, they probably remember the words that the godly man said to Eli when Samuel was being brought up in the temple. As he's directing Eli concerning his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, he says, don't you understand that those who honor God, God will honor? Perhaps that was going through the minds and hearts of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they felt the heat of that furnace building up. And then maybe it also, maybe the other thing is that they remembered over and over again hearing those Ten Commandments told to them. And these commandments, which I give you this day, are to be upon your hearts, and you're supposed to tell them to your children over and over again. Maybe they kept hearing, you shall make no image and bow down to it. And they heard it over and over again. But here's the catch of all of this. They chose to die a fiery death rather than break one of God's commandments. That's pretty intense. I want to talk about the Ten Commandments. Actually, I want to talk about one of them. that oftentimes we kind of look at, perhaps not as a commandment, but as a suggestion. I want to take a part of that one, and it's Mother's Day, so you know which way I'm going with this. We're going to take half of that commandment, and we're going to look at it as we talk about honoring moms and being honorable moms. Are you with me? All right, let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this blessed time together. We thank you for the gifts that you've given, and gifts of family. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be with family and friends before your throne of grace. And we desperately need your grace and mercy in our time of need. And Father, as we consider honoring our parents, Father, I pray that you would take out our hearts of stone, our calloused hearts, and replace them with hearts of flesh. Lord, I pray that you would speak to me and through me that only your message would be proclaimed. Lord, I pray that you would protect us all from being distracted in any way in these few moments that we have left together. And Father, I pray that you would work a miracle from my lips to the hearer's ears, that we would all hear exactly what you want us to hear. And we'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. First of all, hold your Bibles up in the air if you brought them with you. Thanks for doing that. If you don't, just please follow along on the screen behind you or in a pew Bible in front of you. But would you turn to Exodus chapter 20? Many of you know this is where the Ten Commandments are written out. And I want to look at just one of them. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I need to focus in on a couple of things. First of all, you need to know that these Ten Commandments, say Ten Commandments. All right, you're with me. These Ten Commandments, ten of them, there's over 600 commandments in the Old Testament alone. But these Ten Commandments were so near and dear to the Lord's heart that he etched them out on stone, not once, but twice, because we know the first set got broken, right? They're slammed down to the ground by an angry Moses. And he does it two times. He etches in stone these specific ten, and according to Deuteronomy chapter 5, he shouts them from the mountain to the full assembly of Israel through the deep darkness and the fire and the cloud, and as Moses writes, and he didn't add another word. Just those Ten Commandments. That's how powerful and how important these ten are to God. So I think that's why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what, our God can deliver us, but we're not going to break this. So as we look at this other one, I want you to see, honor your father and your mother that you might live long in the land is a powerful verse. But understand something, this is the only positively phrased commandment of the ten. What do I mean by that? You shall have no other gods before me, number one. That's a negatively phrased. It's not a negative commandment, it's negatively phrased. You shall not build an image of anything and bow down and worship it. That's negatively phrased. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not work on the Sabbath. You shall honor your mother and father and live long in the land. You shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not murder, you shall not covet, you shall not bear false witness. They're all nots, not nots. This is the only one that's positive. It's the only one that has a promise. So there's something that kind of pops off the page to me on that. You know, oftentimes people say this is a book of do's and don'ts. We're going to hit that in just a moment. Would you take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, to where our brother read. And by the way, somebody said to me last night, that's kind of an interesting way to start off a Mother's Day message, wives submit to your husbands. But I got to tell you, and I want a strong amen, that's one of the nicest verses in all the Bible. Amen? Amen? Wow, that's lame. This is lame. I can be all here all day saying amen. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as to the Lord. Is a powerful verse, and oftentimes our society makes it such a wretched verse. If you are married by me, I will include that. There's only been one couple I've ever married, and I didn't do the homily because I refused to not put that in there, and they didn't want it in there. So I said, okay, then I'm not going to do the homily. They had another pastor do the homily, the message. Wives, submit to your husbands. This is a powerful thing. It's a Christ-like thing. It's not a value statement. Jesus submitted to the Father. If Jesus can submit to the Father and it not be a value statement, Jesus is equal to the Father, amen? He's equal to the Father. And he submits, not my will, but thine be done, he says in great agony. He submits to the Father because it's a functional role. The church submits to Christ in everything. So wives are supposed to submit to their husbands in everything. That's a functional role because we are the body of Christ and he's the head. When we have children, we expect our children to submit to us as parents, as godly parents, hopefully, but it's not a value statement. They're not worth less than we are. Can I get an amen? It's a functional role. Now, on the men's side, men, you have to die for your wives. I don't know why wives get so bent out of shape with the whole submit thing when guys have to die. There's a buffer between men and the women and God, and that's their husbands, the protector, the buffer, the head. We're accountable not only for ourselves, but for you. So enjoy it. Enjoy that role where you influence so well, but you have a buffer between you. But Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Are you still with me or did I lose y'all? All right. Now understand something. This message is not just for moms. If you had a mom, would you raise your hand? All right. So every one of you, this is applying to you because it's about honoring moms. And even if your mom has passed away, it still affects us. We are still called to honor our moms until we see our God face to face. Here we go. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I'm going through the book of Deuteronomy. I'm just about finished with it. I'm going through Genesis through Deuteronomy right now. And I am amazed at how many promises God makes to Israel if they would just simply listen to him. Oftentimes you'll hear from people on the outside of the faith, oh, the Bible's just a big old book of do's and don'ts, a bunch of rules and regulations, all it is. Let me tell you something, they're absolutely right. It's a big book of do's and don'ts, and if you do what God says, you will be blessed so beautifully. And if you don't do what he says, you might be cursed. He says, I lay before you blessings and curses. Don't do this and you'll be blessed. Do this and you'll be blessed. Don't do what I say and you won't be blessed. It always amazes me how Christians can be stingy toward God. When he gives an amazing promise in Malachi, he says, if you give me of your tithes and offerings, and in the New Testament, he kind of rounds that out by saying, if you do it cheerfully, because I love a cheerful giver. I don't know why Christians could be stingy when the promise is made that if you give me your tithes and offerings, I'll pour out from the storehouses of heaven so much bounty that your barns will not be able to hold them all. God's promises are amazing. And he makes a promise here that if you honor your father and your mother, you'll live long in the land. Why? I'm wondering if Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not told by the king to bow down to an idol, but they were told, you better honor your mom and dad, or you're going to be thrown in the fiery furnace. Let me switch that around. You better dishonor your mom and dad, or I'll throw you. If they would have said, no, I can't dishonor them. I have to honor them. We'll go into the fire. This one seems like it's one that's not really that important to us. Let me tell you something. Honoring your parents will give you a long life. You know what the Bible says about life and years? Methuselah lived a long time. 969 years, I think it was. There's another one that lived like 965 years. They're up there in years. A lot of birthdays and a lot of time on the earth. But God says, okay, my spirit will not abide with man forever. His days will be 120 years. And then by the time the writing of Psalm 90 comes around, those numbers are now diminished to 70 years. A man's days are 70 years, 80 if he has the strength. Now, how many of you are 70 or older? Would you raise your hand? It's a bunch of you. How many of you are 80 or older and you're willing to admit it? How many of you are over 100? There you go. Those of you who are over 80 are on borrowed time. Hate to say that, but it's true. A man's days are 70 years, 80 if they're strong enough. However, there are a couple of things in Scripture that extend a person's years. So when I do a funeral, and I've done over 400 funerals in these years I've been with you guys, when there's somebody that I'm burying that's in their 80s or 90s or over 100, and we've done a funeral for a woman 103 here, and one that we didn't even know because she was raised in a cotton plantation down in the South, and they didn't have a record of her birth, she's well over 100. But when you reach that age, there's something that triggers in my mind. And I know it's not 100% of the time, but there's two things in the Scriptures. When a man fears the Lord, his days are extended. When a man honors his mother and father, woman, of course, too, honors his mother and father, his days are extended. So when I see a woman like this, 102, I asked her daughter last night, your mom must have been one who really honored her parents. And she said, absolutely. Honoring your parents, such a critical thing to the Lord. Okay, so I need to move along here. Are you still with me, church? All right, I want to consider a couple things today. Honoring mom and moms being honorable, because not every mom is honorable in their behavior. So let's take a look at honoring mom. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he writes to this church, and by the way, this letter is written, the first chapter tells you that this church, I hope we're like this. This church was notorious worldwide in the Christian world for their love for all the saints. Remember, we're in this series right now. We're in the part that says, love one another as I have loved you, so by this will all men know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And the church in Ephesus was perfect on this. Paul says, every time I think about your faithfulness and your love for all the saints, I remember you in my prayers. The church in Ephesus, which is where we're going on this, was a loving church. They loved the body of Christ. Wherever the church was, they loved. And so now he puts it in the context of family and loving family in the same letter, same writing time. He now talks about, okay, now I want you to love your family. Wives, I want you to submit to your husbands. That's a loving act. Husbands, I want you to love your wives and give your life for them. That's a loving act. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's a loving act. Honor your moms and dads until you see me face to face, if I can add that. Honor your moms and dads and get a long life. He puts it in that kind of context. So how do we honor our moms? How do we put some teeth into this? I'm going to give you just two things. Number one, I think we need to honor our mothers and fathers with our lips. So would you take your Bibles and turn to that wonderful passage in Proverbs 31. The very last words of all of the Proverbs are these. These last two verses of all of the Proverbs, great book of wisdom, says this. Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Hear that with the lips. Honoring that woman with your lips. Honor her for all her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. We have to start with the lips, people. We have to start with the lips. Just a couple of phrases before he writes these words down in Ephesians chapter 6 about honoring your parents, he says these words. In fact, it's in Ephesians 4:29. It says, let no unwholesome words. Actually, why don't we read it together? In fact, why don't we stand up? It's so important. And you read so much better standing up, don't you? Just say amen. Amen. Thank you. Read it out loud with me and lock it into your brain and your mind. We've done it so many times, you should have it memorized. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You may be seated. Thank you. Start with your lips. If you're going to honor your mom, start with your lips. Now, here's the problem. Jesus says to the Pharisees, do you remember the rebuke a couple of weeks ago? We talked about these four things. Jesus says about the Pharisees, these people honor me with their lips. And that's a good thing. Honoring God with your lips is a good thing. Honoring your mom and your dad with your lips is a good thing. Their hearts are far from me. They're hypocrites, and their worship is just in vain, and the words that they, or the rules that they teach are rules of men. They honor me with their lips. So out the gate, you want to honor your mom, honor her with what you say. I'm talking to you as the biggest hypocrite in this church. Because I tell you what, my mom is one of those kind of people that does a lot of silly things. And we used to ride her something fierce. Still to this day. And we recognize, I admit to you, this is dishonoring. It's so easy to dishonor people in a sarcastic, cynical world. We just tear them apart, but it's not allowed. You go to the fiery furnace, people, right? Obeying the command of God. You go to the furnace. Honor your mother and father. So all the things that I'm thinking, how many times have I just, because my mom does some silly things. But I say this is a good guide point. Think to yourself before you say, is what I'm about to say or what I have just said about my mom honoring? Is it honoring to have just said what I said? Think about it. If we really want to do this, if we want a long life, if we want to honor God, if we want to please Him by obeying that command, then we need to say, I'm sorry, probably more times than we ever thought. That's the first thing. Honor Him with your lips. That's the first one. And the second thing, and there's only two here, we need to honor Him with our actions. Our actions. This is where we do what our moms ask us to do whenever possible, when it's reasonable. Sometimes they want you to move, sell your house and move right next to them, 100 miles away. I'm not talking about, but when you can honor your mother by your actions, by helping to serve them, think about Matthew 25, right? I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I get up early in the morning, especially on Friday mornings, as I go down to see my mom. Most of you know that she's struggling with some dementia and whatnot. And I go down, I leave at about 5:45 so I can get to my mom's house before my mom is eating. She's 82 years old, so all you people over 80, I know you have breakfast at 4 a.m. and it's driving me crazy. But anyway, I go down there to try to get there before 7 o'clock, which is when I'm supposed to heat up her oatmeal in the microwave because we've had to turn the gas off because she's not allowed to have a gas stove working right now. So I have to, and I'm really good at heating up oatmeal in the microwave. I'm really good at that. I can put it 2 minutes, I'm good. But my mom loves oatmeal, so should we? But I get up early in the morning, and I know my mom can cook it, but I'm not so sure. She's safe cooking it. So I get up early to put her oatmeal in the microwave because I've dishonored her so many times in my life. I want to do everything I can in the years we have left to honor her. Do what you can in your actions. Matthew 25 says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was alone and you came to visit me. I was in prison, I was in hospital, whatever. I was alone and you came to visit me. And you know, loneliness is everything it's cracked up to be. Loneliness is everything it's cracked up to be. If you have an opportunity to be with your parents, your mom or your dad, be there. Honor them with your actions. Do whatever you want. I would mow my mom's grass if she didn't beat me to it every week. She mows her own grass. God bless her. Let me move to the second part of this, and that is being honorable women. Women that are able to be honored. Not every woman is honorable. You're always supposed to honor your mother. This is the little sticky wicket. There are some wicked women in the world. There are some wicked women in the scriptures. Remember Queen Jezebel and King Ahab? Queen Jezebel said to Ahab, why don't you take care of that guy's vineyard? You know what? You just don't worry about it. I'll make sure he's dead. You get his vineyard. So he kills a guy for his vineyard of grapes. The wicked woman is so vile in the kingdom that God said when she dies, nobody will know where she is. They throw her over a wall. She comes splattering on the ground, blood and guts everywhere. The dogs come and eat every morsel of her so that no one would know that she even existed. That's how wicked of a woman. Then there's Athaliah, remember her? Grabs the horns of the altars, yelling out treachery as they're about to run her through with the sword because of the way she led Israel down an idolatrous path, and God said she needs to die. There are wretched women in this world. How many of you know of a fellow named William Murray? Not the actor, but William Murray, the author. Anybody know? He wrote a book called My Life Without God. You want to write a note down? Write that down. My Life Without God, William Murray. From the first page, he grabbed my attention as he talks about a scene with his mom in the kitchen and how vile she was. She was one of the most wicked women I'd ever read about, this Madeline Murray O'Hare. Some of you know that name. She sent her son, William Murray, to the same school that my father-in-law went to in Baltimore. And she worked at getting Bible reading and prayer out of schools. That was the woman. What a wretched, dishonorable woman. How do we become honorable women? I was with a man last night who was I hadn't seen in years. He's a counselor, and he and I both counseled the same woman, but he's her steady counselor. And this woman, her life was one of the worst I've ever heard, and her mother's the wicked, most wicked woman I'd ever heard about. Wicked. How do you honor those who are unhonorable? The command stays. The command still stays. It doesn't say honor your mother and father if you feel like it. Honor your mother and father if they do everything you think is good. Honor your mother and father if you get your way in everything. It says honor your father and mother, and I will honor you if you honor me, and I'll give you a long life. That's a promise. That's how difficult it must be sometimes to honor our parents that we get a promise of a long life to do it. Are you with me? But how are we to be honorable individual? I think it starts with this. I only have two. Number one, ladies, please, if you're a mom, train up your children so that they may sincerely believe that there is a God who loves them. Can I repeat that? Train up your children, not just to believe in God. Train up your children so that they may sincerely believe that there is a God who loves them. I'll give you proof for as to why I said that. Would you go over to 2 Timothy, just a couple more verses and we're done. 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son. It's not his biological son, it's his son in the faith. Mercy, and that's stated elsewhere. Mercy, grace, and peace from God our Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience as night and day. I constantly remember you, Timothy, in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Timothy, do you know who this man is? He wrote some of the books of the Bible. Yeah, you say, yeah, he wrote 1st and 2nd Timothy. No, he didn't write 1st and 2nd Timothy. That was written to him. But he helped write some of the letters that Paul wrote from Paul and Timothy, from Paul and Timothy, from Paul and Sosthenes, from Paul and Timothy, from Paul and Timothy. So Paul wasn't the sole writer of this. Some of them in Galatians, we see big handwriting and all that. Yes, he's the sole writer there. But Paul and Timothy collaborate, if you will. They join together in the writing of these letters that are changing billions of people's lives. Listen to me. This is Timothy, and the reason Timothy became such a giant in the faith that Paul calls out to him while he's sitting on death row, about to have his head cut off by Nero, being blamed for the burning of Rome. He calls for one man. He calls for Timothy. He says, Timothy, would you bring my cloak? Would you bring my papyrus with you? Would you tell these people that I'm thinking about you? Would you come so that I could have joy in this cell where I wait to die? That man became such a great man of God, Timothy did, because of what grandma did and then what his mother did. His grandmother taught her daughter Eunice about Jesus. She became such a convinced person that she told Timothy, and Timothy became a great, great giant in the faith. So the first thing, how to be honorable: train up your children so that they may sincerely believe that there is a God who loves them. Second thing, and then we're almost done. Live and work as unto the Lord. What you do, live and work as unto the Lord. Going back to the Proverbs 31 for just a moment, charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Be honorable in the things you do. I told you, not all women are honorable. Make the job easy, if you will, for your kids on that. I want to read one thing. I've been asked to make several copies of this, so I think you're going to enjoy this. It's just very, very quick. Okay, very quick. This is called Reflections of a Mother, and you're welcome to a copy. I have some copies in my room. I don't know who the author is. It says author unknown. Reflections of a Mother. I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I can teach you things, but I cannot make you learn. I can give you directions, but I cannot choose whether you will follow them. I can allow you freedom, but I cannot account for it. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can teach you right from wrong, but I cannot always decide for you. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can offer you advice, but I cannot accept it for you. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you to respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I can't force you to be gracious. I can warn you about sins, but I cannot make you moral. I can love you as a child, but I cannot place you in God's family. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can teach you about Jesus, but I cannot make Jesus your Lord. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you with unconditional love all my life, and I will. Always, Mom. I thought that was good. I close with this. As I told you before in the message, I said I do a lot of funerals, over 400, and I do a lot of people's funerals I wish I didn't have to do. One of them, some of you know a fellow named Ron Bond. Anybody in this room know Ron Bond? Ron, do you know Ron Bond? Wave your hand so everybody knows who you are. Ron is one of the most blessed men on the planet. He was married to a woman, in my opinion, Joyce. You could shorten that to Joy because that's what she brought to everybody. Joyce, in my book, is one of the top, most gracious women I've ever met. And I've met a lot of people. Joyce went in one day. She went into the hospital for a minor thing. My understanding is she was checking out and she sneezed, caused a brain aneurysm that I saw on the screen. I was invited into the room to see it. That brain aneurysm took her life not long after that. And I did the funeral for a just privileged man that I am to do that. And I asked the people, if you're going to share about Joyce, make it about Joyce. Not about you, because I've done a lot of funerals. And a lot of people get up there and they talk about themselves. You know, anytime somebody gets up there, they just talk about themselves. Right, me. Anyway, the point is, I said, make it about Joyce, not about you. Well, their daughter, their beautiful daughter, Debbie, who I had when she was in second grade, I was her Sunday school teacher. That tells you how old I am. I was her Sunday school teacher. Now she's married and has a bunch of kids, right? I don't know how many kids that she has. She has two kids. That's a bunch. Anyway. And anyway, Deb was just the perfect student, so compliant. She knew her homework ahead of time. They raised her beautifully. And she got up there and she looked over at me on the side and she said, Pastor, I know that you said that this is not supposed to be about me, but it has to be about me because my mom was always about other people. I love that. And I, of course, let her go. And she talked about Joyce, but she talked about how Joyce had made her such a wonderful person, just loved her up and just made her the woman that she was and got. And I thought that was wonderful. One day, somebody's going to be talking over us, casket, some kind of a setting. I'm wondering if they're going to say, this person was honorable and they were honored because of how they talked and how they lived. I hope that's said of me. I pray that's said of me. I have no idea what's going to happen 92 years from now when I die. But I pray that's the case for every one of us in this room. None of us lives a perfect life. That's not what we're talking about. But did we honor others? And were we honored by God and by others? because of how we talked and how we lived. Amen, church? Love you guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this rarefied air, for this opportunity to gather as a family, the church that you are building, brothers and sisters in the faith, and those who are questioning and wondering, is this thing for real? Father, we thank you that we could gather before you, our God, your majesty, and we can hear from you, and we can learn how to honor our moms and how we can be honorable people. So, Father, I pray that we've heard from you and not just from a man. I pray that if there was anything of my flesh that has somehow crept into this, that would be quickly forgotten, that only the words of you would remain. And Father, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, thank you for your time this morning. I'm going to ask that you would stand and take the hand of the person next to you as we have a closing benediction. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, now and forevermore. Amen. God bless you. Love you guys. Happy Mother's Day.